In the first reading today, God says through the prophet Isaiah that he is doing something new. The things of old, he says, to consider no longer. But we look at the context in which he places it, because he talks about the fact that he is the Lord who opened the way of the sea so that the water the people could walk through. He gave the people water in the desert from a rock. In other words, what we recognize in this is the divine power at work. And yet the Lord is saying, don't think about the things of old, look forward, I'm doing something that's new. He talks about how he's going to make a way in the desert, in the wastelands, he's going to put rivers. Can't help but to hear the words of St. John the Baptist when we hear those words, that he is the voice calling out in the desert to make straight the way of the Lord. And yet even there, then we ask, what is it that St. John the Baptist was preaching? It was something that was new. He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And that's exactly what we see then in the other readings today. St. Paul, when he's talking about himself, he talks about the fact that he forgets about what lays behind and he looks forward to what is to come. In that, he's looking at his old way of life, certainly his way of life in Judaism, but he's specifically more talking about the sins that he had committed. And we see that also in the gospel reading today. We hear that the scribes and the Pharisees bring this woman who is caught in adultery, and they're testing Jesus to be able to see what his answer is going to be. Moses said that such a woman is to be condemned, that she is to be stoned to death. What do you have to say about this? And again, St. John tells us that this was being done to test Jesus, which is pretty obvious because the Jewish people couldn't put anybody to death. They had a law that said these kinds of people are to be put to death. But remember, when it came to putting Jesus to death, they had to bring him to Pilate to say, well, we can't put anybody to death. The Roman law doesn't allow us to do so. But our law says that this person's supposed to be put to death. So what are we supposed to do? So obviously, again, they're playing a game with Jesus because they don't have the ability to kill this woman anyway. What's he going to say? Is he going to go against the law of Moses? Or is he going to uphold the law of Moses? And of course, as usual, he takes the middle ground, fools them all, and says, let the one without sin be the first to cast a stone at her. In other words, all of you deserve death too. And they recognize that and walk away. So then as the Lord is standing with this woman, he says, has nobody condemned you? And he says, neither do I. But go and sin no more. Now, if we think about this point that St. Paul makes, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what is ahead, put it into the context of this woman. She's living in an area that, relatively small town, you could say. Anytime she goes out, the neighbors are going to know, oh, that's the woman that got caught. Oh, she was with Mr. So-and-so. Oh, all the gossip, all the nonsense, all the shame, everything that would be involved with that. Now, she could live the rest of her life saying, well, I'm an adulteress. I'm worthless, I'm rotten. Or she could accept the mercy of God. And she can define herself by who she is, not by who she was. It's not to deny the sins. We see St. Paul saying the same thing, even to the point of saying, among sinners, I myself am the worst. So he's not denying anything that he did, but he's acknowledging the mercy of the Lord. So we look at even what we talked about last week. Remember, when your sins are forgiven, when God forgives your sins in the confessional, They're gone. They are removed from your soul and destroyed. They no longer exist. And yet, how many of us struggle continually looking back and defining ourselves by our past? Either suggesting that I can't be forgiven or I'm not forgiven. And that's what St. Paul is talking about. I don't look at the past, I look forward. Jesus is saying, don't look at the past things, look forward. So what is he talking about? Well, let's put it into that context again. When we see the power of God at work to free the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, what has God done for you? He didn't free you from slavery in Egypt. He freed you from the slavery to sin and to Satan. Far, far greater than what happened to the Israelites. He didn't open the Red Sea for you to walk through. Instead, he used the waters of baptism to remove sin from your soul and break the shackles of Satan. We don't live in a desert where he has to feed us. Instead, we just live in a spiritual wasteland where we recognize God's mercy and providence all around us. But we also recognize that for the Jewish people, all of this freedom from slavery and walking through the desert, that was to lead them to the promised land. And for you, it's to bring you to heaven, the ultimate promised land. For the Jewish people, when they went out in the desert, they entered into a covenant and they became the people of God. For you, on the day that you were baptized, you entered into a covenant and you became a son or a daughter of God. And so this is what God wants you to focus on. He's doing something new. We can look at what happened as the people came out of Egypt and all of the plagues and opening of the Red Sea and the feeding of the people every day for 40 years and water from a rock and all of the extraordinary things God did. But St. Augustine says that it requires more divine power to forgive one sin than it did to create the entire universe. So we look at the power of God in all those miraculous things that happened. And what he has already done in your soul is even more powerful. And what he wants to do in your soul is more powerful still. He wants, as St. Paul says, for you to be part of the resurrection from the dead. He wants all of your sins gone. He wants you to be in heaven with him. St. Paul says of himself that I have already been possessed by Christ. The Lord has grabbed onto me. He said, but I don't yet possess him because he's not yet in heaven. That's what he's looking forward to. That's what he's straining ahead to. So yes, he acknowledges his sinfulness, but he's not stuck in it. He could be running around saying, well, I'm a murderer. I was part of the murder of Stephen. I did it. He's not denying it, but he's not defining himself by it. So if it's a point that you struggle with, looking at the past, where Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow but keeps looking back isn't fit for the kingdom. Your sins are gone if they've been forgiven. If they haven't, if you haven't, please get to confession. Get them off your soul. Be free. That's what God wants to do for you. And then you have the freedom of the children of God. And then you're in the state of grace. The Lord has taken hold of you while we're straining still to be able to take hold of him. That's what this is all about. And so the Lord is indeed doing something that is new, something far beyond the greatest events for the Jewish people. And now that's what he's doing for us. Taking all those things and then bringing them to the next level. So right now, we have already entered into the covenant. We're wandering out in the wasteland. But the Lord is taking care of us in this wasteland. And he's going to bring us into the promised land. And over these next 2 weeks now, we're going to focus on that. So the church takes everything away. That's why everything is all covered up. Everything that could draw our attention, even to holy things, to be able to zero in on the passion of Christ. So this is what's called Passion Time now, these last 2 weeks of Lent. But it's also, though, to look beyond it. Because even though, yes, we are going to zero in on what Jesus did for us, that he went to the cross to take away our sins, that, as St. Paul reminds us, that it's the blood of Christ that frees us. The blood of bulls and goats can only cover up sin, but the blood of Jesus takes them away. But the cross isn't an end. The cross is the means. And so as we go through this time, yes, we are going to go through the crucifixion with our Lord. And then it comes to Easter and the resurrection. And that's exactly what St. Paul tells us, that he continues the pursuit of his goal, the upward calling in Christ, the resurrection from the dead. That's what God has for you. That's what he desires for you. That's what he's calling you to. That's why he has brought you out of the slavery to sin and Satan. That's why he's made you his own son or daughter. That's why he continues to take care of everything while you were wandering through this wasteland of a world that we're living in right now. But we have to choose him. We have to continue to reach out to him. But as you do, don't define yourself by what you used to be. Define yourself by who you are. Yes, we are all sinners, and we acknowledge that. But don't get caught in your sin. Don't be a slave to that. God has freed you from it. Live in the freedom of the children of God and reach out to take possession of Christ so that what we see of God doing something new, he wants to do something glorious in you. Already what he has done is new and extraordinary. He wants to bring that to fulfillment. He has already reached out to grasp you and make you his own. Now he's waiting for us to reach out to grasp him so that we can be with him for eternity. That's what this is about. That's the newness of what God is doing. So don't focus on the things of the past. Look forward to the things that are to come, the greatest and most glorious things, which is eternal life with God.